is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Loop text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down. Here's Carmichael Dave.
Hello.
Good morning.
Yeah. It's Monday. That's such a cheeseball radio thing. Hey, everybody, it's Monday. Like somebody's out there, they tune in. Oh.
More cheeseball, the Monday or Friday? I feel like Friday gimmicks are way more cheeseball.
I think it depends. I really do. Now, if you're doing the whole, like, crazy...
Fun Friday.
I like to acknowledge that it's Friday because it's awesome.
Sure.
But not go over the top. But the whole, like, hey, kids, it's Monday. We'll get through it together.
Tune into the radio for 3 hours as the family gets you through this harsh and cold, yet super hot Monday.
There's no cold.
No, not in Sacramento.
It ain't cold, dude.
Although it's going to be, what, 81 today? That's splendid.
It's actually, I'll be honest, it's the first time in a while where I've been outside in the morning, and I go, oh, there's a little goosebump.
Right.
A little mini goosebump.
Put the old hoodie on this morning.
Oh, you did?
Look at me.
That is Jay Mars. I am Carmichael Dave, and we will help you get through this entire week. Hope you had a wonderful weekend. Hope you had a safe weekend. And let's see, what do we got today? So... fun end of the week last week for me. I can't talk about it, but it was fun.
And, oh, okay.
Everything's good now.
That's fun.
By the way. So that's good. I will, just a programming note, a week from Friday, I will be gone. It will be Jay and TBD hosting the program, whoever the heck that is.
I'm just trying. What day is that?
That's a Friday.
I know Friday, but like the number.
I just said it was a Friday. Golly. It is the
18th.
Friday the 18th.
Different than Friday the 13th.
Friday the 18th, I'll be on Friday the 18th, I'll be gone. No, that's kids don't know yet.
That's Disneyland. Oh, that's right.
I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
I totally planned the whole thing because I thought it'd be like 25% capacity still, but boy, it reopens to everybody like 2 days prior.
How'd that make you feel?
Horrible. I tried
like
to
get ripped off.
Here's what I've learned. Even though it is almost impossible to come buy Disneyland tickets right now. And we got 3 day park hoppers all weekend long. It is almost impossible to get them anytime soon. Yet Disney doesn't let you can't refund them. Yeah. You can't
really?
You cannot. Once you buy them, they're yours. And secondly, I can't.
That's some you know what.
Yeah, and I can't sell them. And I've tried repeatedly to get. I was on hold. I even took a screenshot. I was on hold for almost 4 hours at one point during the day. I called at 9 a.m. right when I left the station. And nothing. I sent them an email. Nothing. For all the Mickey Mouse garbage they put out there, their customer service sucks.
Listen.
Terrible.
There's a reason why the mouse is worth all the money that the mouse is worth.
Yeah,
and, giving refunds, not part of that.
Doesn't happen. And it's not even like, I could understand if it was certain things, but they could, these tickets, the moment they got put back in the hopper, would go again.
Sure.
Just like, yeah, dude, I it's my own risk. I'm not blaming anybody for the purchase, my own dumb fault, but think, well, you know. I really wanted to go down at 25% capacity. That ain't happening.
What do you feel more ripped off by, not getting a refund for Disneyland or even though you're getting a refund for the Showtime fight last night?
Honestly, that was...
You get more use out of the Disneyland tickets, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that was actually fun. And the funny thing is, don't tell Amazon this, but
okay. At
least for me, and I'm assuming, I don't know how many people just gave up. I don't know how many people were periodically refreshing, but about every 5 minutes I'd... go back in and see what happened. Monitor Twitter. Talking about the Paul, the Mayweather Paul fight last night.
I obviously didn't order the fight. I just saw you and several others tweeting screenshots of their Showtime app just not working.
Yeah, you know, my wife asked me. I get people. Oh, you're an idiot for even ordering. I'm like, it's $50 and it's going to be content. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to watch it. It's going to be content. We'll talk about it. But for those who don't know, Floyd Mayweather and one of the Pauls.
Logan.
Logan, thank you.
I only saw that because I read the headline.
they fought last night. It was an absolute S show anyways.
Right.
But just the whole preview to the fight, like they did a little like 20-minute documentary leading up to it as it counted down to 5 o'clock when the undercard started. As soon as it switched from that to the undercard, whole thing crashes. Everything crashed. I took screenshots of every error message possible. Showtime, and it's probably not even Showtime's fault. They put on plenty of pay-per-views. My guess is it's the internals there, or externals, I should say, with the Mayweather production.
Well, because I saw people that still got it on pay-per-view.
Yeah, well,
remember that thing on the cable boxes
right,
and stuff?
Right.
They were able to watch it no problem.
Now, people like me were going through a Fire Sticks and all that. Anyways, the whole thing crashes. The whole time. It's crashed completely. People are losing it. I was like, you know what? This is actually, it really, the best case scenario happened. Because the fight, for me, finally came on with about a minute left in the fifth round of eight. So I watched the end of the fifth. Wait, the end of the sixth, excuse me. And then the seventh and the eighth round. And then everything after that. Honestly, most important part of the night, just watching. I got a little taste of the fight. I got the post game and all that. And then I put this on Twitter, but for anybody who ordered, I can't speak to any other way. Anybody who ordered on a Fire Stick and you're looking for a refund, it was literally 5 minutes on Amazon chat this morning. They were very cool. And Amazon customer service, weirdly enough, is actually really damn good.
Amazon customer service, greater sign Disneyland customer service.
Not even close to.
Wow.
It goes like
Bezos greater than mouse.
It goes like Costco customer service, Nordstrom customer service tied with Amazon customer service.
Wow, you got to work in and out Chick-fil-A in there.
Traeger customer service. No, I'm not talking about like, I'm simply talking about with returns.
Oh, no, that's what I'm saying.
Oh,
like
you've returned Chick-fil-A?
Not that I've returned it, but I have had both Chick-fil-A and In-N-Out. Very rarely does this happen, mess up my order.
Oh.
Next thing I know, I got like $25 gift cards in my mailbox. Like, that's some good stuff, dude.
Hey. Look at you.
Look at me.
Good to know. Yeah, they're good. They're good. It's all set. We're good to go. See you later. And there was something else I was going to bring up too, damn it. So the pay-per-view, Disneyland. Yeah, I don't have it. I lost it or something else.
Gus, something like that.
Oh, Gus, God.
Gus is God now?
Gus,
well, that's quick.
Such a stupid idiot. I can't just.
Wow, bro, he's like 6 months old.
Rudy says maybe. He'll buy my Disneyland bundle. Yeah, that's fine, Rudy. Will you buy all 8 of my tickets?
He might.
8. 8 park hoppers.
Ooh, we could totally wouldn't get in any trouble. Let's do a raffle on air. Sure. Not a raffle, excuse me. What's a bid?
Yeah.
You can bid on your Disneyland tickets.
I'm sure that would work.
Can I be the guy that talks super fast? We'll just get like 5 people on the phone.
I don't want to bid. I just want to sell them for face value.
Yeah, what's the fun in that?
Just want to sell them for face value.
That's not how capitalism works, buddy.
The idea, I mean, the lines are still shorter, but.
What is the capacity full? You said
No. I think it's either 25 or maybe it's up to 35% right now.
That's still fine.
But, right, it would be fine. Except there's still social distancing on the rides.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, on Pirates, it's every other seat. So it really, I have the little app that tells you what the waiting times are, and I've been obsessing over it. You know, Pirates of the Caribbean, still 30-40%. Or, excuse me, 30-40 minutes.
Oh, because of the ratio of open seats to
people
in line. I get it. That sucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
Pirates of the Caribbean. Most underrated ride maybe of all time?
I don't know. I mean, it's an entire movie franchise based off the rides.
I'm talking about just the ride in general, not what has spawned because of it. I just feel like when people talk about rides, it's usually some big, crazy roller coaster or something. Like, that's such a great ride, and it's not anything major as far as an adrenaline rush.
Well, that's
It's just a wonderful ambiance.
You have one adrenaline rush. You have one drop.
Two drops, right? There's like one and a half.
The one I remember. It's my favorite ride. So it's hard for me to say it's underrated because it's the must. And generally, I'll try to go on it twice per day. There's nothing like it being hot outside and crowded in Disneyland. And then you get on Pirates. And, I mean, it's long, too.
Yeah.
What is it, 15 minutes, something?
Not a short ride.
It's not a short ride, but it's like it's a small world, but not where you want to drown yourself.
Yeah, that's a good way to sum it up.
Like, it's actually interesting and fun. Anyway. anyway. God, you know, it sounds like I'm just scrambling here. There was really something coming out of that last topic I wanted to talk about, and I'm going to...
Which one? We've hit like four.
Yeah, but I'm going to remember in the middle of the show when there's no time to talk about it.
You'll make time.
The spectacle was whatever. Credit to Floyd Mayweather and Paul
guy. For making money?
Yeah.
That's kind of where it ends, right?
I respect it. They
respect the hustle.
Francis Ngannou, UFC heavyweight champion, tweeted out that Logan Paul just made $20 million to do whatever the hell he did, at least $20 million, which is probably at least double.
To just eat Ngannou, Mayweather punches for eight rounds.
Right, for Mayweather to literally hold him up.
Right.
And he said, what are we doing wrong? That's what Ngannou said. What are we doing wrong? Well, you know, anyways, also Gus, yes. I'm not allowed to give him away. I really wanted to. Gus ate the house on Saturday.
Oh, well.
Actually ate part of the house.
RIP to the house.
We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice.
Coming up next.
All right, we got a weekend of NBA playoffs and some big surprises in there as well. Both Bay Area teams very hot throughout the weekend. And Julio Jones finally has a home. Hey, shocking, it wasn't for a first-round pick. We'll do that. We've got USA soccer exhibition fights. We'll get to it all next.
It's time for Leading Off, brought to you by Lasher's Elk Grove Dodge, where for over 60 years, their name means a great deal in the Elk Grove Auto Mall and online at elkgrovedodge.com. Here's cut number one.
The Clippers with a ridiculously impressive comeback. The Clippers' comeback is officially complete. LA goes down 0-2 at home in this series and becomes just the sixth team in NBA history to come back from a deficit of that magnitude and win it. Only the fifth team to do it in a best-of-seven series, and we're on to Salt Lake City. The revenge season continues on what was a spectacular Game 7. The Clippers overcome 46 points and 14 assists from Luka Doncic, but 28 points, 10 rebounds, 9 assists from Kawhi Leonard, 22 points, 10 assists from Paul George, and the Clippers survive this war of a series in 7 games.
Revenge? Revenge from what? How is this a revenge season?
I don't know. I don't know. But...
like revenge against themselves?
The result that nobody wanted. The Clippers beat the Mavs. Everybody. No, but come on.
There's like four people in LA that are like super stoked that happened.
Everybody wanted Luka and the Mavs in the next round. Shout out to your guy, Skip Bayless.
My guy.
I mean, he's just an absolute moron, which says less about him and more about the state of our society that it makes a lot of money in this business.
Yeah.
In all caps, he tweets out, I was wrong about being wrong about the Clippers. In a shock to me, I was ultimately right. Now they have a very good shot at winning it all, as I originally predicted. Millions of dollars, this guy.
It's almost like it's an equation. Here's how it works. Say something super stupid, right?
Yeah.
Then when super stupid prediction doesn't come true, revise, sound even stupider, and make money. I've yet to figure out how the calculus actually works. I just know that's the equation.
I mean, listen, if saying stupid stuff got you paid, we would be beyond rich.
I'm gonna go ahead and say that we say more intelligent things than Skip Bayless on a regular basis, and that's kind of our problem.
The Clippers advance. The Clippers and Jazz, I am absolutely here for that series.
I'm more here for our coming together with a bunch of stupid takes and let's just get rich.
I'm fine with that, too. Meanwhile, and we'll get to this later, the Hawks.
Woo!
Shock. The Shock Hawks. And Bogdan Bogdanovic, my goodness. We'll get to all that later. Number two.
Leading off, cut number two.
And the pitch to Tapia on the way is swung on, grounded left side, charge it short. Elvis has it. Quick throw to first on a hop, and it's dug out by Olsen, and the A's have won it. And a great play on both ends by Elvis, charging, fielding the hop, the off-balance throw on the move across his body, and Matt Olsen digs the ball out of the dirt. Rockies are thinking about a possible challenge. But for now, the A's have won this game by the final of 6-3.
Yeah, the A's did what they needed to do at minimum in Colorado. It's a bad Rockies team. They take a 2 or 3 year the great Ken Korak on the program. By the way, speaking of the A's, Dave Cavill will join us on Wednesday. We promised you Dave Cavill this week following and Killian on Friday as we continue to dive into the A's stadium issue. The A's, 35-26, they are a game ahead of the Houston Astros. And you just get a feeling that's going to seesaw a lot this year.
Yeah, depending on how healthy either team stays. Also, the Giants taking 3 of 4 from the Cubs. I mean, no big deal.
The Giants taking 3 of 4 from the Cubs, who had been on five. I think they'd won 9 of 10 coming into that series. You know, it's hilarious. Going into that Dodgers series in L.A., it looked like the Giants are finally starting to come back to earth. And then they take 3 of 4 there. They've been hot every day almost since. And let's be honest, I don't want to get greedy. That should have been a 4-game sweep. They had a lead on the Cubs. Night before, my goodness, the end of the play, two straight transfer issues by the Giants second baseman, leading to a Brandon Crawford, Evan Longoria crash up. It was such a goofy bottom of the ninth. The Giants still won, but in the process, Longoria out a while. With a sprained shoulder. So
4 to 6 weeks. Oof.
Yeah, very weird end there.
Did you see the video? It found its way on TikTok and then it obviously made its way into the other social media spaces. Not talked about enough this week was old man Giant fan with his two grown children in their 40s having to stop them from having a full-on fight over cotton candy in the middle of an inning. Behind cat. Oh, bro, I'll show you the video. It's hilarious.
All right, we'll get to that in the break. Because I do need to see that.
It's pretty great.
Number three.
Leading off, cut number three.
Here's Ryan going to put it up for grabs. Jones is wide open for the Atlanta touchdown. Oh, they sold the play fake and then the throwback to the front left pylon and Julio Jones in the end zone on his third touchdown catch of the year.
This is going to be an incredibly interesting team, these Titans. Because they have, in my opinion, with apologies to Christian McCaffrey and apologies to Saquon Barkley, they have the most dominant running back weapon in the league in Derrick Henry.
Yeah. He's a big boy.
He's not the two-way guy that McCaffrey is, but...
He doesn't need to be.
But Derrick Henry in a fourth quarter when the other team's legs are down, this is a guy that on any given day can rush for 200 yards.
Yeah, because he can literally truck every linebacker in the league if he wanted to.
And now all of a sudden you've got A.J. Brown, who's like the Derrick Henry of receivers. He's just a monster, going with Julio Jones on the other side.
Who is also a monster. You know, it's interesting. I was thinking about this when the trade went down because Julio Jones has spent, 10 seasons in Atlanta?
Yeah.
He's the guy that every team schemes for. They double, sometimes triple. If you're playing Tennessee this year, who are you leaving in single coverage? If a healthy Julio Jones or A.J. Brown?
We're going to find out next year. Because
this year.
I mean, they're
going to find out in a matter of months.
They're going to have to figure something out. Ryan Tannehill is the happiest man on earth.
God.
Right, and it's funny because... There were a couple of different Titans, specifically A.J. Brown, that campaigned for this.
Oh, yeah. A.J. Brown has been campaigning for this on social media since it was well known that Julio Jones was not going back to Atlanta this season.
Shockingly, the deal was not made for a first-round pick. We talked about this at length the week before last.
We're the Atlanta Hawks. We're the Atlanta Falcons. We're going to leak. We got a first-round pick. And guess what? Nobody's going to bite because we kind of have really stupid ideas.
They get a second and fourth round pick, but remember, the Falcons also send a sixth round pick as well. So, no, that does not equal a first. They never had a first.
A second round. And a fourth equals a first?
They never had a first. That's so stupid.
I'm sure that's what they're going to sell their fan base
it's
on.
Like the most transparent league ever.
Why have one pick when you can have two?
916-339-1140 is your text line. Was the Mavs team that took the Clippers to 7 the same Mavs team that was 0-4 against the Kings?
0-3, I think.
Yeah. Doesn't seem likely.
Don't do that to Dallas.
But everybody says, so listen, as Kings fans, we'll find any way to try to be. Was it the same team? I guess.
Well, technically, it's the same roster.
But styles make fights.
They do.
The Kings swept Denver. They swept Dallas. I think there was another team in there they swept. And didn't they?
They swept Denver. Dallas. They swept Dallas.
2-1 against the Lakers.
2-1 against the Lakers. I think they went and they swept Boston, which in retrospect, not that big of an accomplishment.
Right. Same with the Lakers.
But yeah, the stakes are also a little different in the playoffs. Teams show up.
Right.
And going into the playoffs against the Clippers versus a regular season game against the Kings, it's a little different.
It's just sometimes teams match up crazy with other teams. So anyways, we'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
Well, I think if you had told a Philly fan on Friday that Joel Embiid with his partially torn, MCL, would go for 39 in game one, I think they'd feel really good about that game. We'll also talk about the Clippers-Mavs. Bad news for Brooklyn. And Jason Kidd, the favorite to get the Blazers job until he wasn't by his own doing. We'll talk about that next.
The Carmichael Dave Show. Thoughtful, smart, engaging. None of these terms apply here, but he will read your snarky hate text at 916-339-1140.
Bogey stops in the middle. Now he continues his dribble. Bogey shoots a right side three, and he makes it. Bogey Bogdanovich knocks down the three-pointer. He's got 11. Hawks lead by 26, 53-27.
You don't say Bogey Bogdanovich. You say Bogdan Bogdanovich. You're calling Bogey. Come on, Rook.
Trey way out there with it. They double him again. He dribbles out of it. Now he steps back, drives the lane again, goes all the way through, goes under the basket, brings it out the other end, turns and shoots a right-hander and scores. Trey had them running around like whirling dervishes, and they couldn't stop him.
Whirling dervishes.
Yeah. Goes to Bogey. Three-pointer by Bogey. He's got it. Bogey Bogdanovich with a huge three-pointer. Quiets the loud mouths in Philadelphia. The Hawks lead 121-115.
Bogey Bogdanovich. It just doesn't roll off the tongue right.
Yeah, they need a little more time with him. That's fine. Maybe we can help them out. John Collins with the big slam.
Now Trey gets it across. They tried to foul him. Alley-oop. John Collins jams it home. Good afternoon, Philadelphia. Have a nice day.
Yeah, that was an interesting game. 20-plus point lead for much of that in Philly. Mm-hmm. With, listen, not a healthy Embiid, but an Embiid that was very productive.
I'll say this, for not a healthy player dropping 39, I forgot what his field goal percentage was, but it was high.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah, and boy, did that get interesting at the end. That got really interesting at the end. The Sixers did their best, 41-29 in the fourth quarter. Actually, outscored, let me do some quick math, 16 points they outscored in the second half, but just not enough. 39-9 for Joel Embiid in this one. 39-9, 17-10-4 for Ben Simmons. Tobias Harris showing up 20-8, and you know, blah blah blah, those are the numbers. Here's the bottom line: 35 for Trae Young, 21 for Bogdan Bogdanovich. And as always, you know, Kings fans, and I'm the same way, you put it through the lens of a Kings fan, and so there was a lot of great to see Bogey killing it in the playoffs. That could be us.
No, it couldn't.
But that's, again, more than ever, you know, at the beginning of the year, there was definitely a little bit of uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
And I understood it in the whole Bogdan Bogdanovich thing. If your issue is that Bogey left and we got nothing back, I hear you.
That's a legit issue.
That's a legit issue. If your issue is we should have kept Bogdan Bogdanovich for $70 million, that is not a legitimate question. It's a legitimate question. It's just, it's wrong.
Yeah.
Two things. Number one, if Bogdan Bogdanovich is there this year, with the $70 million on his back, he's going to play a lot of minutes. Mm-hmm. Those minutes have to come from somewhere. Those minutes are going to come from Tyrese Halliburton mainly. And I'm far more interested in developing Tyrese Halliburton than watching Bogdan Bogdanovich score 20 points in a 12-point loss for a non-playoff team. He would not have put us in the playoffs. Therefore, he would not have performed in the playoffs. So it would have been a $70 million contract just to simply have Bogdan and maybe win another game or two this year. Which you might say, well, that puts you in the play-in.
Woo!
If your argument is spending $70 million to have Bogdan Bogdanovich get you into the play-in, okay. Also, that would mess with your lottery balls a little bit, but that's not a big deal.
Ew.
I know. And on top of that, they're already in a little bit of a cap issue problem right now. With Harrison Barnes and Buddy Hield's big deals, Marvin Bagley's a big option coming up. And they've got to try to make room if they're even going to re-sign Rashawn Holmes. If they have Bogdan Bogdanovic on top of all those deals, that's a really big problem.
Yeah, you're starting to, especially if you wanted to re-sign Rashawn Holmes, you'd be looking at starting to creep close to the luxury tax for a non-play-in team. Think about that real quick.
Yeah.
Let that sink in.
And then also... The only other argument I would really accept is, okay, I mean, I'll listen. This one I get. You sign Bogey when you match the offer sheet when you find out the DiVincenzo deal dies.
Sure.
And now you trade him. I can see that. You're basically paying him for a year to retain whatever value he has at the end of the year, and you're gambling that he will have value, that he won't get hurt, blah, 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 blah. Now, in retrospect, is the cost of developing Tyrese Halliburton as much as he's developed right now with the playing time he got, is that worth whatever return you're going to get for Bogdan Bogdanovic now? Probably not, though, in my opinion. Probably not. You're paying Bogey, and you've retarded Tyrese Halliburton's development slightly for what? What are you going to get back? I don't know. Anyways, 1-0 Hawks. The Hawks are officially the Cinderella, correct?
I mean, I guess they're a 5 seed. It's hard to call them a Cinderella.
I mean, right now, the fact that they're a 5 seed.
They're the lowest seeded team remaining, correct?
I think so.
Because, yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4 all came out of the West.
1, 2, 3, 4 all came out of the West. Philly.
Philly is Nets. 1. Yeah. They're the lowest at 5.
But it's not.
It's hard to call them a Cinderella.
But it's not just that. It's also the fact that they destroy Philly on the road in the first game. Well, the final score didn't look like it, but they did. And on top of that, this is a team that had a coaching change midseason.
Mm-hmm. Also got healthy midseason.
Sure. But when you look at the point when they got that change, when it went from Lloyd Pierce and Nate McMillan to now, as night and day.
Sure, I guess I would label them more of a dark horse than a Cinderella.
Okay.
I think that's more accurate.
Okay.
Can't call a 5 seed a Cinderella.
Doc Rivers said they got hit in the mouth.
They hit us in the mouth to start the game. I thought they were the more physical team. They were the more aggressive team. They played harder early, and they took care of the ball early. We didn't. You can't have 9 turnovers to start the first quarter and expect to be up. I thought that contributed as much as our coverage on Trey with us getting down.
Luka Doncic did everything he could as well in that game 7.
Crossing over, stepping back, fading away. 3 good! 42 for Doncic.
Not good enough because of this guy.
George top of the key to Leonard on the left wing against Jalen Brunson in the 2-3 Dallas Mavericks zone. Driving middle, gets past Brunson, pulls up from 10. And he got the roll. Kawhi Leonard with 28.
Mm-hmm. Kawhi Leonard, well, let's go with Luka first. He wasn't happy.
Nothing yet, you know. We've been in the playoffs twice since I'm there. We lost both times, so nothing yet, you know. You get paid to win, so we didn't do it.
Yeah, there's that. Kawhi Leonard on Luka.
He did everything. I believe, I don't know how many 40-point games he had. I believe 3 or 4. You know, shooting it very efficiently from 3 for sure, off the dribble shots. You know, just doing it all for his team. He's a great player. You don't see him for many years to come. You know, he's playing at his own pace. He's making it look easy out there.
The youngest to average 35 points a game in a single postseason, Luka Doncic. Pretty good. Pretty good postseason for him. He needs help. We were talking about
Skip. He needs a lot of help.
A little bit. We were talking about Skip Bayless earlier. Speaking of journalists that have just become caricatures and have made a lot of money in this business doing that. Here is one of the greatest, Rick Bucher. On Kawhi Leonard, just Rick Bucher on Kawhi Leonard.
You're echoing what a lot of GMs have said to me over the last couple of years, that Kawhi Leonard, for all of his talent and for his 2 championships, is not a leader. So who is? What I found interesting in Game 5 and what they've sort of shifted to is that they're putting the ball in Paul George's hands. And this is, I normally don't disagree with Draymond Green on a lot of things, but
yeah, I can't. Kawhi Leonard's not a leader.
Nah. Sure didn't look like one yesterday, right? Definitely, would you say caved under the pressure of Game 7?
I mean, that's the
thing. Didn't show up, didn't perform. Paul George carrying the Clippers. Reggie Jackson carried the Clippers yesterday.
It just shows you how people misunderstand the term leader and what leadership is. There's leading by being vocal and getting in the huddle and, come on, guys, and slapping each other on the butt mm-hmm. cheeks and all the stuff that you see leading in sports. And then there's Kawhi that's just like, I'm exuding calm. It's cool, everybody. I think it was...
Just give me the ball. I'll handle this.
Who was sharing it? Was it Rachel Nichols? Somebody was sharing a conversation they had with Doc Rivers where he was drawing up plays, I want to say in game 6, for everybody on the team. And they were all deferring to Kawhi Leonard. And basically he said to his players, do you guys not want these plays? Do you want Kawhi taking every shot? And they were like, yeah. Yeah, we get it. Like,
yeah, we're going to win if that happens.
This is his moment. This is where he shines, and he's shown that his whole career. He, you know, playoff P, my butt, it's playoff
hey,
Kawhi.
You think up in Canada they're saying, you know, we won the title despite Kawhi not being a good leader.
Yeah, not going to see that. So I would say Kawhi Leonard when it comes to chips and the quest for the chip is – one of the better leaders the NBA has ever seen. He's just not all over the place.
Right. Last I checked, finals MVP guys are usually...
Usually.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
All right, we'll recap the Mayweather-Paul, whatever the hell circus that was yesterday. Also, I hate to preview a segment on boxing and golf. But there was a stunning moment this weekend in the world of golf that we saw unfold live. We'll talk about that next.
If you want a unique angle on a topic that no one in their right mind would think of, you're in the right place. The Carmichael Dave Show returns now.
1-800-920-1140. That is your telephone number. If you want to be old school and call in, 1-800-920-1140. Of course, 916-339-1140. You got something you want to text in? Remember, if it's negative, it'll probably get read. If it's positive, 50-50 chance. It's a Monday. It's increasingly likely that will happen as the week progresses, but on a Monday, a little more cynical nature because you come off of things like Mayweather and Paul.
I don't know if you meant to do that.
Do what?
Talk about positive and negative.
Did I meet? Yeah, kind of.
Did you? Because that's pretty...
Not in any sort of sync with you, just more so what was on my mind.
Pretty good if you did. Because over the weekend, John Rahm dominated Jack Nicklaus's Memorial Tournament. Which, let me just say, before that, I don't know what you can do as a broadcast crew. I'm not blaming anyone. I had to, and I got to think... Poor CBS, it was unwatchable for, excuse me, it was unlistenable for me
mm-hmm.
because of the cicadas in Ohio. You couldn't hear anything but this deafening, and in this clip we're going to play, you might hear them.
For those that aren't insect literate, can you explain what a cicada is?
So every, like, what is it, 17 years or something, all these, like, flying grasshopper thingies or whatever the hell they are, cicadas, show up, and they just yell the whole time. All they're doing is yelling. That's it. Just yelling.
It's a very benign insect. That's literally all it does.
Imagine millions of little flies that just go, constantly. When I just did that twice, it's morning. It's 6:47. That had to be annoying to you. I'm doing it for a reason.
Yeah, no one appreciated your cicadence.
No.
Killed just, it. Bam. Come on, that was good.
So...
So, didn't even workshop it. I just right off the bat.
You didn't work. You didn't.
Just threw it out there, see what we get.
So I had to turn the sound down. That's fine. John Rahm destroyed the field this week. Just annihilated it. Had a 6-stroke lead at the end of his round. Had a hole-in-one on Friday. Like, just everything, nailing putts. It's great to see a player, a talented player like Rahm, when the whole game is working. Because when his game is working, there's maybe you can count on less than one hand the people that could stop them if their game's all but working. I mean, you're talking Dustin Johnson, maybe. Jordan Spieth, maybe. Rory McIlroy, maybe. I mean, Rahm is right in that category.
So the reason you hate Brooks Koepka?
I'll put Brooks in there. But that's, it's tough. Anyways, setting 54 hole or tying 54 hole records, blah, blah, blah. So Jim Nantz and Nick Faldo are signing off the broadcast, and you're going to hear it. This is how it went down live. And as they're signing off, the camera is showing John Rahm being talked to by two PGA officials. And you'll get when Nantz catches.
So it's just spectacular to see. Tomorrow will be fun, folks. Again, 2:30 special start time tomorrow, live tomorrow. Jack, look forward to sharing it once again with you, the final round here on CBS.
Thank you, Jim.
There we go.
What's going on here? Somebody just gave John some news.
They just pushed the mic away, or the camera away.
It's not good. And we have no idea, folks. We have no idea. They just passed along some information, and you could see just instant devastation.
By the way, at the end there, you could hear the cicadas when they turned down the music. Anyways, the weirdest thing was when I and so many others found out live on TV that John Rahm had just been informed by PGA officials that he had tested positive for COVID-19 and by rule had to withdraw from the tournament in which he had a 6-stroke lead. I guess happy is not the word. I was so relieved. Not that COVID's not serious. Not that I don't wish him and his family the best. I thought some tragedy had happened and we were watching him get told. I mean, a family death, something crazy. And I found myself relieved that that's, air quotes, all it was. In fact, Nantz said the same thing on the air, and I agree with him. So John Rahm tests positive for COVID. He had entered contact tracing during the week and was tested every day because he had come in contact, apparently, with somebody who had COVID. There was a lot of speculation as to whether or not Rahm had been vaccinated. The consensus was he had not because had you been vaccinated and registered as vaccinated, you wouldn't have been in the same contact tracing protocol that mm-hmm. he was in. So Rahm not vaccinated costs himself, I think it was $1.2 million first place. For the record, Patrick Cantlay beat Colin Morikawa in a playoff. Had Rahm shot, I think it was 4 over, he still would have won the tournament by a stroke. Needless to say, it cost him and his caddy $1.2 million. The real, I use tragedy lightly here, the real stinky thing, I'll use that, would be if his caddy's vaccinated and John chose not to be, and the caddy who is not.
Caddy misses out on $1.2.
Exactly. So it sparked a lot of conversation. Listen, I am, you know where I stand on vaccinations and COVID and all that. I don't want to go too far down that road, but I found myself thinking, my God, like you just let him play a whole round. You didn't come right out and tell him. You waited till after the round. So number one, when you found out he tested positive, I don't care if he's on the fifth hole, meet him at the green with a cart. Hey John, we just got the lab results back. You're positive. We got to go. Why would you let him finish the round with everybody else?
You know why they let him finish the round.
Still, it's stupid.
I agree with you that it's
incredibly stupid.
But the idea is, hey, we got this guy playing his ass off.
Sure.
It's the Memorial.
Sure.
It's literally a second-tier tournament for golf heads. We need a storyline.
I got you. Incredibly stupid and hypocritical, number one. Then number two, if you let him finish the whole round, and it's golf and it's outdoors, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Why not let him tee off on Sunday by himself? Him and his caddy, both masked up. That's the rule. You both got to wear masks the whole time. And you're in a onesome. I mean, there's got to be a way to mitigate this whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that in a sense would work. However, the optics of that aren't exactly great.
And number three,
despite what I just said, I understand that's kind of counter to the argument I just made.
And as bad as I feel about John Rahm,
do you feel that bad?
You know, I do. I do feel bad because I don't think Rahm's a bad guy at all. And listen,
it's not about being a bad guy.
Listen, John Rahm cost himself and his caddy $1.2 million because he's still doing research.
Which is why you shouldn't feel bad. You should have empathy. Empathy is fine, but feeling bad is being sympathetic towards a guy who could have avoided the whole thing.
Okay. Then I have empathy.
There we go.
It just stinks.
Stop making John Rahm out to be the victim here.
Congratulations to Patrick Cantlay. And, you know, one thing I haven't seen explained, though, is in the clip, the one thing you can hear Rahm say when he's told, his knees kind of buckle, guy puts his hand on his back, like, okay, which, by the way, hey, dude, contact tracing. And then Rahm goes, not again. And I'm like, what do you mean not again? What does that mean, not again? Did you have to withdraw from another tournament because COVID? I just truly want to know what not again was referenced.
I'm hoping that's what it is and not like, oh, damn, I have a second COVID positive.
Exactly. I don't know, and it wasn't explained. That's the only thing you can hear he said that was
awful. I feel like the former, though, is probably more likely.
Also, we talked a little bit about it. There's not really, I mean, we'll hit this a little bit later, but Floyd Mayweather and Logan Paul. I can't recap the night of the card for you because, like so many, I was locked out by Showtime crashing. I can recap the post fight. I can recap that in these situations, I find myself having to separate myself from my deep, real dislike of Floyd Mayweather as a human.
Mm-hmm.
And he just annoys the hell out of me, and his brother annoys me too, Logan Paul. And I have to tip my cap. They put on an exhibition.
Yeah.
They made a ton of money. Nobody was forced to buy this. They bought it of their own free will.
Mm-hmm.
I respect marketing. I respect promotion.
I think it's okay. I think it's acceptable to respect the hustle without respecting the human.
I respect the hustle without, yeah, hustle, not human. There you go. That, mm-hmm. We should make shirts.
You know what? That actually probably sell.
And I actually enjoyed Logan Paul afterwards. And, you know, he is an actor, entertainer type dude. I'm aware of this.
So is Floyd.
Yes. But for him to, he got out there and they after Floyd talked, they talked to Logan Paul in the post-fight interview that everybody in the crowd could hear. And Logan was basically like, I just got in the ring with Floyd Mayweather and went 8 rounds. I'm the happiest guy in the world. We made a ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe this happened. Like, this is amazing. What a great day. I'm going to go hang out on the beach now. Like, ye freaking ha.
Yeah. Hey, spoiler. No shame in getting your butt kicked by Floyd Mayweather for 8 rounds and taking home $20 million. Sign me up for that quote-unquote embarrassment.
You're talking about a YouTube vlogger in his mid-20s, I think, that just got, as you said, $20 million plus and can say for the rest of his life, even though Floyd literally at one point held him up from going down.
Right.
He got to go the distance with perhaps the greatest fighter in history and got paid $20 million to do it.
And dare I say, $20 million probably more than any Mayweather actual opponent ever made.
Or damn close.
Right.
Yeah, to your point.
Just because he's on YouTube. Not mad at the kid's hustle.
No, I'm not mad at the hustle at all. And they wrap everything up in a nice, beautiful bow. The whole thing looked like a cinch. Good for them. Good for them. Speaking of cinch. Yep. Speaking of the best to ever do it. Carmichael Dave here. Maybe the best to ever do endorsements. Let's be honest. Saw an article in a radio mag the other day. I was like, quit reading off his scripts with your endorsements. Embrace him. I'm like, listen to the show. Our partners are part of the whole show, period. Like Cinch. C-Y-N-C-H. Cinch.com. Propane Exchange. Not amateur. Propane Exchange. By the way, we made that up, too. What a weekend. What a fun weekend. And maybe you're low on propane now. Were you barbecuing? Were you, it's going to be cool this week. Were you space heating? Were you fire pitting? Whatever it may be. Cinch.com Propane Exchange. It's very simple. I tell you every single day. Put your old tanks on your porch. Cinch will come by and put new tanks on your porch and take your old tanks. And that is it. And it's cheaper than the gas station. That's it. Oh, one more thing. Use promo code Dave and your first exchange is $10. Half the price. Half the price you pay at the gas station. It is, you know, you hear dumb commercials all the time saying, it's a no-brainer. Like, literally, this is a no-brainer. There's no downside. There's absolutely no downside at all. Go to cinch.com, C-Y-N-C-H. Promo code Dave. Cinch.com, promo code Dave. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
All right, top of the hour, Soundgarden. We'll talk about Mike Krzyzewski, Kevin Garnett, Patrick Mahomes. Oh, I remember what I was going to say in the blah, Jay. I need to, at some point during the show, ask you and talk about if you have or haven't seen the Bo Burnham special on Netflix. Oh, my God. It should be must-viewing for everybody. We'll be right back.